If you have the best idea to improve logistics, but you cannot communicate this well to the stakeholders, it will not happen. And if the idea is bad and you communicate it well, you can only do that once, and afterwards you're in trouble. And many logistics decisions are such decisions. You need to base it somehow on the facts. So it's a very rich domain for data-driven problems in practice.
Hello and welcome at Logistics Conversations, the podcast of the Cluster for Logistics Luxembourg. Through this podcast, you will discover the international world of our sector. Logistics is essential in Luxembourg, and we want you to have a look behind the scene.
Hello and welcome back to Logistics Conversations, the podcast which looks behind the scenes of supply chain management and logistics in Luxembourg. My name is Jill and I'm a Logistics Development Advisor at Cluster for Logistics Luxembourg. Today I'm very happy to welcome Joachim Arz, Professor at the University of Luxembourg, for the 23rd episode of this podcast. Hello Joachim.
Hello Jill, thank you for having me today. I'm quite excited to talk about what we do.
Great. Well, I am glad that you could find the time today to discuss the Master in Logistics and Supply Chain Management at University of Luxembourg. Joachim and I will discuss the origin of this master program and its impact. Beyond this, we also want to share with the audience how shippers and logistics companies could further benefit from offering master theses or from hiring international talents. At this point, it is important to add that also the Cluster for Logistics has supported this master program for more than 5 years. But yeah, let's just leave it there for now and let's talk a bit more about you. Could you tell us more about your own background and what you're doing today in this master program?
Yeah, so I was originally trained as an industrial engineer at the Eindhoven University of Technology. I spent a couple of sabbaticals at MIT, and then the new MIT Skills Center opened up here in Luxembourg. A good friend of mine started working there. He invited me to come take a look. I applied for a job, and now I'm here and enjoying it very much.
Yeah, so MIT is a very interesting keyword, I think, in this context. Could you give our listeners more details about this program at the University of Luxembourg? How are you linked to the well-known MIT in the United States? And how did the program start and where is it really heading in the future?
Yeah, so I think one of the reasons this program started is that logistics is an important pillar in the Luxembourgish economy. The government is aware of this, and they want to make sure that all the critical infrastructure for that is in the country, which also means education. And education from technicien and up is there, but there was no university knowledge about that. So they decided they wanted to bring that to the country. The government partnered with the MIT, which is actually, according to many rankings, the best university in the world. Brought the Luxembourg Center for Logistics and Supply Chain Management to Luxembourg, also to start a new master program. And this master program is a joint program with the MIT, which means that our students spend about a month of the program at the MIT studying with the other students, that they have professors that come visit from the MIT, and that all professors that teach in our program or that work here at the university are hired through hiring committees that include MIT faculty. So it's a way to attract high talents to the country, and I think it's working quite well.
Okay, and just like besides the great professors at MIT and here in Luxembourg, what are some other unique selling points of this program? Like, why should a student enroll for the Master in Logistics and Supply Chain Management here in Luxembourg?
Well, there's many job opportunities when you graduate because this is an important sector for the country. You have major players here in the country like CFL, Multimodal, Cargolux, many manufacturing companies here, as well as countries that run their procurement out of Luxembourg. It is a program where you get the best of the European model in education and the best of the American model in education. And it is a program that is relatively small scale. So many other programs in supply chain and logistics, they take in hundreds of students, which means it's a mass operation. Mm-hmm. This one, we have somewhere around 25 students per year.
Oh, rather small. Okay.
Rather small. We would like to grow to about 35. Mm-hmm. But that means that it's easy to access faculty in a way that you would not be able to access faculty in other places, which means that we have guided projects with industry. And these guided projects give access to world-class faculty, both for the students and for the companies where these projects happen.
Okay. But then talking a bit more about the industry. So how do companies, or if I were CFL or Cogalux, how do I benefit from your graduates? Like, what skills do they bring to my company?
We primarily train for two skills, and I hammer this in my students. Or at least I try to. You need to have the right ideas how to improve logistics, and you need to find the right way to communicate it to all the stakeholders. If you have the best idea to improve logistics, but you cannot communicate this well to the stakeholders, it will not happen. And if the idea is bad and you communicate it well, you can only do that once, and afterwards you're in trouble. So the unique skill set that we give is we teach them analytical models, so they understand all the algorithms that are used to optimize routing, to develop inventory management programs, to make processes more efficient, reduce throughput times, to identify risk and quantify risk. And we teach them skills on how you communicate this to a broad audience, because whenever you have such a project in a company, you need to convince the board, unless you're on it perhaps, but even then, and you need to convince the people who need to execute these new processes. And that requires some sense of communication, and also requires that you can think about, well, actually the superior solution is this, but this is the solution that is hard to communicate. And we try to teach them this trade-off such that they can function well in the real world.
No, that's great. I mean, it's always difficult to present something very complex in a very simple way. Really cool. But let's talk a bit more then about industry partnerships. If I understood correctly, your students are writing an industry-based master thesis. So how do you identify these thesis projects?
Well, some companies we started working with when the center was set up. So Cargolux, Ferrero, ArcelorMittal, CFL, Multimodal, Amazon. The way we identify them is at the beginning, we try to look for them. Now, more and more, they are looking for us, which I think is a good sign. If you are interested in doing that, you should contact either Niels Leundorf, who does projects primarily in procurement, or you should contact me, and we do projects primarily in logistics and supply chain management. We used to have an outreach officer. She just retired. I don't know when she will replace it. I will let you know.
That's great. So if any company who has some interesting innovation topics going on or challenges in logistics and supply chain management, please contact Niels or Joachim, or just contact the cluster. We can connect you to them. And then you will have a nice student who can help you resolve an industry challenge. So in that sense, what is the typical time frame? Like, when do you start searching for these topics, and what is happening until the graduation? Can you give us some months or key dates and or milestones in this project?
Sure. So over the summer, we look for projects. We create a scope of what the project is together with the industry partner. That is ready by end of September, usually. In November, we match students to companies at a matching event. During December, they work on the thesis to create a poster that they will present at MIT. In January, the students fall off the grid because they are at MIT, and that takes up all of their time. They return in February, and they work on the thesis part-time from February until end of May, say, and they defend early June. That's roughly the timeline.
Oh, so that's a master program, if I understand correctly, it has just 1 year. So it's quite a sprint. They are doing courses and writing their master thesis.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so what we do is we In the first semester, we cram all the courses from September till the end of November, such that December is dedicated purely to the thesis project. And the whole month of May is also dedicated to the thesis projects, but at all other times, they also have some courses running concurrently.
Okay, understood. And for these thesis projects, just to come back to those, what topics would you love to support in the future? Do you have some favorites, or do students have some favorites? I mean, of course, companies have their challenges, but just talking about favorites.
Well, we all have favorites. The projects that we have fall in a few broad categories. One of them is forecasting. People need to know what will happen in terms of demand, what will happen in terms of prices in markets. And we run analytics to help companies do that. Some of them are about processes. You have some process to unload some operation. How can you make that more efficient by looking at what actually happens? Some of them are optimization based, where you optimize a whole distribution network, say. And some projects are more qualitative in nature, where you investigate a strategic challenge that a company might have, such as, well, what are the most important AI technologies that could transform our operations in the coming decade, say? And I have my personal preference among those. I like the mathematics, so the optimization and the forecasting. That's me personally. We have faculty in house that can do all of those projects well, and all of them like what they do.
Okay, so understood. So it's a very broad scope of favorites that you might have, depending on the student or own preferences. And how do companies in Luxembourg and in Europe or across the world? I mean, you're quite an international program, if I understand. Benefit from your research or specific topics? Like, I mean, in what way do you work together with the companies? Because, I mean, students are only there for a year, let's so to say. So I think they are writing the thesis, but they're not really doing an internship. So in what way, like, do they use the data of the companies to work on their projects?
So the students do spend time at companies depending on where they are located, right? So companies here in Luxembourg, students usually spend time there. They work on the data, and some of them get hired afterwards by the company. An example is one of our first year students looked for Cargolux into what is the benefit of operating specific lanes in their network, and how his first job after he graduated was as a business analyst for Cargolux to do exactly that. So that's one way that it happens. The other way that it happens is that they hire our other students, and some companies choose to partner with the LCL for something that goes beyond the master thesis. For example, ArcelorMittal has a joint PhD student that looks into pricing in energy markets and how to do that well. And BASF, just across the border, is partnering to fund research in how to measure the carbon footprint of the network and how to reduce the carbon footprint for a chemical supply chain.
Okay, so interesting. That's what you said, that companies are also starting to approach you for, let's so to say, challenges which go beyond the scope of a master thesis now. Now, it's yes. Quite a success. And talking about successes, I mean, you already mentioned some, I think, now, but could you give us another set of success stories or implementations of thesis projects from the past that you are very proud of, or the first that pop up in your head?
Well, one of the things that pop up in my head is we had a partnership with the Robert Schumann Hospital that started just before the corona crisis. And then when the corona crisis hit, there were a million things happening all at once in the hospital for understandable reasons, and they could really use some extra hands. And so many of our students volunteered. They got a special card from the government to actually travel to the hospital, because people were not supposed to travel that much back then. But they went there and they took over some of the daily jobs that these people in logistics at the hospital have to do, such that there's available capacity to think of all the things that need to happen and to look into the market to get things like personal protection gear. It was hard to get, and you need people to do that. So I think that was a great success story. And I know many small successes in thesis projects. For example, there's a startup in Germany called Urbify that does last mile logistics, and how they do their operations is based in part on data analysis that our students did for them in terms of how do you reward drivers, for example, and incentivize drivers.
No, those are some very interesting examples, and I have a feeling you could probably go on forever after a couple of years now. But maybe we can switch back a bit to Luxembourg. And our Ministry of the Economy published a strategy for Luxembourg called Data-Driven Innovation in May 2019. Could you give us some examples of what this means from your perspective and how your graduates, for instance, could help with that strategy?
Sure. When you need to make decisions, you want to make sure your decisions are fact-based, which means you need to look at the data if you can. And many logistics decisions are such decisions. You need to base it somehow on the facts. So it's a very rich domain for data-driven problems in practice. So our students can help because there's people who are pure mathematicians or statisticians. And you have people who really understand operations in practice. And those people do not always speak the same language. And that's where I think our students can offer a real benefit, because they are trained to speak the language of both these groups. Which means that if you want a successful project, really in data-driven, it's a good idea to have somebody from your own operations, maybe have a pure data scientist, and one of our students to make it come together and manage the whole project. An example of things that we do, I mentioned the project that we have with Arcelor. It is such a project. They are looking into, and I regret now that Niels cannot be here today because I'm sure he would do a better job explaining, but let me try my best. Arcelor uses a lot of energy to create metal, which means that they need to buy this on the market, and they want to do this for the right price, and they want to do it in a green way. And the question is, well, if I buy green energy now for the next 5 years, some of the windmills, some of the solar panels that will produce this energy have not been built yet, which means it's hard to understand what the right price would be for such a thing. How do you look into this based on the data that you do have? Now, that's one of the questions that he is looking into to help them negotiate these contracts and negotiate green contracts going forward in the future. We also do quite theoretical stuff where we look at asymptotic analysis. Many of these data problems, they are very hard to solve computationally, and you need to find ways to do that. One of the techniques is asymptotic analysis. It's also one of the things we do. So we do from the quite theoretical, close to the mathematicians, to the applied, working directly with industry.
No, very nice. I think that's quite a hands-on example of what it can look like. And I think we are more or less nearing the end of this podcast, but we always have a reoccurring last question, which we always ask our guests. What is a personal dream that you would like to fulfill one day? Like, just besides logistics, besides the university, besides your students, just something about yourself.
Oh. Well, I have two big hobbies. I like music and I like climbing. So there's a few mountains that I would like to climb someday in my life. I would like to climb in the Himalayas one day in my life.
Oh, that's great.
Maybe not one of those above 8,000, but although that would be a dream as well. I'm not sure whether that is too aspirational given my physical shape.
No, I'm sure you will have the time at some point to do that. No, I really enjoyed this podcast with you. And I think our listeners learned a thing or two about the master program at the University of Luxembourg. Don't hesitate to reach out to Joachim or Niels, who couldn't be here today. this is from my side. Thank you for listening and see you on our next episode.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you for listening to Logistics Conversation. You can find our podcast and interview on SoundCloud, Spotify, and of course our webpage www.c4l.lu. Thank you.